This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Moody's Dental. Don't let the coronavirus self-quarantine keep you in dental pain. They're open and ready to get you out of pain. Call 305-821-0231 or visit moodysdental.com.
Gail Sayers passed away at the age of 77. And Gail is one of those players that if you're young, it's something you only heard about. That's if you obviously follow, you know, the sport, because this was a long, long time ago. But Sayers unfortunately passed away at the age of 77. I was thinking about this, and this is a 77's not bad, man. 77's a pretty full life overall. I was thinking about that. I was going, you know, if I pass away at 77, what you don't want is to suffer. You know what I mean? And that's the one thing that you hope he wasn't suffering as he checked out, because that's the part that is the scariest part as you get older, that you don't know when you're checking out and you don't know how you're going to end up checking out. You know what I'm saying? So I hope he didn't suffer. 77's a pretty full life. A Hall of Famer, only played 68 regular season games. If you ever saw Brian Song and you didn't cry, then I can't help you. You're probably not a human being. You know what I mean? So if you want to maybe understand Sayers a little more, watch Brian Song. But it's, tell you what, one hell of a man. A guy that anybody and everybody that ran into, like nobody ever said anything negative about Gale Sayers. One of those dudes, right? He's the Russell Wilson, the Cal Ripken type, the Derek Jeter type. You know, he's that guy that just kind of carried himself perfectly throughout life, and a guy that was admired by many, and obviously not only admired as a person, but admired as a player, that he didn't have a long career, but everybody knew he was Hall of Fame worthy. And so obviously inducted into the Hall of Fame, and most people that saw him never said he wasn't worthy of the Hall of Fame. The discussion with him and other players is, was it a long enough career? Was the kind of deal. And I believe he might be the guy that broke the ice on getting into the Hall of Fame on a short career and kind of opened the door for a couple of other players that have gone in on short careers also.
He is the youngest ever inducted. Yeah. At 34, when I saw that, I immediately went, Walt 34, like it just both of them like hit. And you know who he reminds me of? The short career that it didn't matter? Dwight Stevenson.
Right.
It's the same thing. Same, like there same is thing. No doubt that guy is Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
put
yeah.
him in.
Oh, yeah.
Done.
I have yet to see a center better than Dwight Stevenson in my life. Not now in the NFL, not ever.
Well, here
I've never seen a guy like that ever.
I'm very fortunate because obviously younger, but Jim Langer, he's in the Hall.
Yeah,
and my Bears, of course, I had Hilgenberg. I've had three great centers up for my two teams.
Yeah, but nobody's like Stevenson. None of those guys are Stevenson.
You know what, man?
Those guys are Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
and Stevenson's another level, bro.
He was an absolute ball. Like, did he ever get beat? Did he ever
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't even know, man. I mean, just the stories and watching him play and holding up one guy with one arm and stiff-arming another and putting him on his ass and just the things that Stevenson did. I just have never seen another center ever again do that. So it's crazy stuff. But our thoughts and prayers to the Sayre family and obviously the Bears. We obviously our condolences to all because we lost a great man. Not just a great player, but a great man. That's the other thing that you see when everybody talks about Sayre. And I know, listen, we have a lot of young people that are like, you know, Gale what? Who? Huh? Oh, just another old guy that died.
If I'm not mistaken.
And that's the sad part. That's where we're at now in 2020 because it's so far removed from a lot of this stuff that it's like, you know, for young people, it's like, who's that old dude? You know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Pat in Asheville says, watch the Bears 85 game. Stevenson dominated the fridge with one arm. It's Dwight Stevenson. You know what I mean? It's Dwight Stevenson. It's I'm not surprised Dwight Stevenson dominated everybody he played. You know, it's not just a fridge thing. That was a problem for everybody that faced that guy.
If I'm not mistaken, though, I think that Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers were the first black and white roommates ever for the NFL.
I don't know. I'm
pretty sure.
You might be right. I have no idea. Raging Dolphin Maniac says, oh, my God, Brian's song is a tough movie to watch. Yeah. I would challenge you that if you're a human being and you watch that movie and you don't get emotional, your eyes don't water up or you literally don't cry, then there's something wrong with you, like seriously wrong with you. And you remember that growing up, Brian's song was played every year. I don't know exactly when in the football season it was, like Thanksgiving, I think, or...
And you know what else was...
I forgot when it was.
You know
do you guys remember? Anybody that's old enough to remember? Because it was every year.
It was another one the same week? Something for Joey.
Yeah.
John Cappelletti.
It was like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Brian's song, it was like a traditional thing back in the day, me growing up, that at one point or another on WCIX, I was going to watch Brian's song. You know what I mean? And, you know, after you watched it a couple of times, you're like, oh, I can't watch this again. I can't. Because you knew what it was going to do to you, right? That's the thing, that after you've watched it, you knew it was going to eat you up alive. It was going to make you cry. It was going to make you feel sad, because that's the only way you can, man. That's the only way you can feel.
And I would be correct. It is confirmed. They were the first interracial roommates in the NFL.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
Boy in the Bubble made me sad. Yeah. John Travolta. Yeah, the Boy in the Plastic Bubble. Yeah. But that's a different one there. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That was an after-school special, ABC,
Yeah, that I remember that one. But, man, Brian's song, dude, that thing will eat you up alive, brother. Oh, and for you young people, you should watch it one time, okay? And I'm warning you now, don't watch it with your friends, okay? Like, if you want to be Mr. Tough Guy and all that, don't watch it with your friends, because it's going to be a race to see who's the one that can hold their tears in. Okay, just a warning. If you haven't seen it, just a warning, okay? Watch it by yourself. Watch it with your girlfriend. Watch it with your wife. Watch it, you know, with your parents. But don't watch it with your buddies. That's not a movie you really want to watch with your buddies, okay? It's too emotional, man. It really is.
Oh, that scene when he accepts the trophy.
Yeah, no.
And he says, get down on your knees. Like I'm, you know.
Yeah. James says, Field of Dreams always gets to me at the dad, you want to catch line at the end. Yeah. No doubt. I'm with you on that one, too. But, man, Brian's song. I don't know if I've ever had a sports movie just pierce right through me like Brian's song. I don't think I've ever seen one again like Brian's song. I haven't seen it in years. I would imagine that it would still do the same thing to me that it used to do in the past. No doubt about it.